Welcome to Circulus, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons homebrew campaign setting starring a collection of interesting, fantastic people, and also me. With me today are some wonderful individuals, including, but not limited to, Chris. Chris, who are you playing, and where can we find you?
I am playing Vex Aronsilvar, a half-elf ranger rogue. You can find me on Twitter at @Akari_mag or on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast. Website is azerothctc.com.
We also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing and where can we find you?
I'm playing Pankaram Darkstone, the gnome, and you can find me on Twitter at Bolthra. That's Bolthra.
We also have Jen. Jen, who are you playing and where can we find you?
I am playing Meepo Chippedclaw, a kobold sorcerer who is basically a teenager now, and kind of growing up. And you can find me on my website, bookofjen.net, where you can find my recently released Jen's Lore Corner podcast, which is about the lore in the Diablo video games. You can also find me on Twitch, playing Diablo most of the time, at Queen of Haiku.
And Meepo's getting to that point where she should probably start filling out some college applications.
Yeah.
Requesting some student loans.
Seeing if she can be legacy into Ari's college, you know.
She's a legacy. We have to take her.
It right. is a thing.
Yep.
And Matt, who plays Aristobulus, is not online right now. He will hopefully be joining us in a bit. Just not right this second. So, last but certainly not least, returning triumphantly from outings out there in the real world with real friends and real family of a non-digital, non-internet variety. I did not think such a thing existed, but apparently it does. We have Eric. Eric, who are you playing and where can we find you?
Hey guys, I am playing a dwarf cleric. My name on the game is Obey Metalcaster. You can find me at Synergy 007. That's SynRGY007. And you can also find me on the podcast, VoteToKick.com.
And also, apparently, you can find most of us in Neverwinter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until the next WoW expansion comes out, and then all of you are leaving again. I know.
Yeah, we're gone.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I'm gone.
Sorry.
No hard feelings. No hard feelings at all. I understand. You play the games you want to play. You play the games you want to play. And right now, I'm so glad that what you want to play is Dungeons & Dragons.
We're not leaving anytime soon. We might not take a break, a couple weeks off, but you know.
Yeah. Right up until I start charging a subscription fee, and then this game's dead. I'm like, hey guys, would you mind paying... Yeah, why did everyone disconnect right away? Why did they unfriend me on Facebook, guys?
Never, sir. Never.
Well, to recap what has been taking place. The party, most of it at least, decided to go hunting for some goblins because some goblin kids were hanging out at the farm and this was kind of suspicious and there were some grudges and there were some concerns about how you may have had a genocidal rampage last year that made a lot of goblins really mad at you, and Meepo was kind of concerned about that also. Vex was having second thoughts. Ponk was thinking he could kill some goblins. You did find them, but you also found Al, the vampire, former sheriff, and the fight went down. You managed to kill a giant lizard, which happened to be a polymorphed goblin child. As soon as that happened, there were a lot of bats. All of your opponents disappeared. How, you're not quite sure. And you were able to explore this subterranean structure with lots of books. Fewer books than when you started. There were some fireballs thrown about for a change. So there were some mistakes were made. Let's put it that way. Mistakes were made. Some people were kind of sort of eaten. Depends on your definition of eaten. And then you went on your merry way exploring this structure and seeing all the wonderful sights. It's not Well, it's large as a structure, but it's not a complex. Let's put it that way. However, all of this was going on without two of our party members. Fenix was, for the most part, working on helping to construct the temple to Bahamut that's being made by his congregation and his newfound allies, the Chipped Claw clan of kobolds from which Meepo hails. But, Obame, the party couldn't find you. So there was a guess that you were with your congregation, but what were you doing?
I was definitely with my congregation, working on enhancing the knowledge of thy deity. But I was also taking a look at things around in the back waters, if you will, of or trying to anyway. Don't know how far I came up with. That's pretty much up to you. The mystery of the undead that's going on in the main castle, if you will.
Well, there was a revelation for that, rather. Definitely was a revelation for that, which you will probably find out more about when you talk to the rest of the party.
All right, very good. However, congregation, pretty much.
Okay. It's... Give me a religion check.
Using dice. Yeah, that didn't go well. 9.
Okay, so you know something was up, but you don't know which direction that is.
Oh, gosh darn it.
It's okay. All right, so you're hanging out with your congregation, and that is fine. So, while you are doing this, a visitor comes to your church of Ilmater. Do you want to call it a church or a temple? You are the founding member of this, so you are telling your congregation what the terminology is. Locally, they've called these places churches, but what would you want it called?
I'd like to call it a cathedral of Ilmater, but I'm trying to figure out if it's big enough to call it a cathedral. Isn't there a minimum size and spec for a cathedral?
Jesus. Well, a church is not a place of worship. A church is a congregation. So you could call it whatever the heck you want to call it. And your congregation is primarily dwarves.
Yes,
because you're a dwarf, so they assume Ilmater is a dwarven god.
Yes, definitely.
You might have kind of not...
Forgot to tell him that, but that's okay. Yeah. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, he is a god of many varieties, so he is a god of dwarves, so dwarven god. That makes sense. That makes sense. It works for me. Working as intended. All right. So since they are dwarves are very skilled at building things. So there might be a cathedral in your future.
Something underground, I'm assuming. You know, because we'd like to be underground.
Well, most structures in Coomridge go above ground, but there's nothing to say they can't go further below ground as well.
That's true.
Especially with dwarves, because they have rights on most tunnels below a certain depth. So things are in progress. But your cathedral in progress has a visitor, a dragonborn, a gold dragonborn. He is accompanied by 3 other dragonborn who sort of just hang back for the most part. He is wearing plate mail and has an amulet around his neck that is made of platinum, and it's the shape of a dragon head. He has a warhammer strapped to his back that looks kind of heavy, and he is using... Well, it's obviously a longsword in its sheath, but he is using it as a walking stick. He moves with a noticeable limp.
Sure.
And he is... walking through the front door of the cathedral and looking around, he's admiring the structure, nodding appreciatively, as one does when they see dwarven handiwork. But he's not running up and approaching anyone. You don't think he can run, but still.
Well, he's besides the dragonborn that's usually here, or when he's around anyway, it's Fenix. I'll go up to him and say, can I help you?
Uh, By the way, give me a... What should I have this roll be? Let's go with perception check.
21.
If it wasn't for the noticeable limp and certain battle scars you see on this dragonborn, I don't want to say you think all dragonborn look alike.
Wow.
But there is a resemblance.
Huh, I see. I don't know if I kind of looked like somebody to me. Do you know of Fenix?
I prefer to be called Mr. Generalis.
Oh, okay.
And who might you be? Good dwarf?
I am Obeim Metalcaster. I am a fellow companion of Fenix's.
Oh, my son. You've seen him then?
Definitely. He's been on many adventures with us. How may I be of service to you, sir?
Where might he be now?
Out of character. I don't know.
am I right to be picturing King Jaffe Jafar?
He's a dragonborn paladin. He is very tall, very wide, all muscle, and he is conducting himself like he is of royal blood. He is, when he walks into the room, his attitude is that everyone in that room is a station or two lower than him.
Yes, and James Earl Jones' voice.
And it's quite possible that in most cases he's right.
Mr. Fenix has his own congregation that he dabbles in. I can show you where it's at.
It's, by the way, it's at least a half day's journey from where you are now.
Well, I'm a giving person.
Okay. He appreciates the kind offer, and you head off. So, while you're doing that, switch to the rest of the party.
Do we get a cool frame transfer like in the movies?
It's... yeah, we see Punk's head spinning in a circle. Just zoom in, yes. Cover up the frame, and then zoom back out again. And we see the rest
meanwhile,
of the party.
Back at the Punk cave.
It is in fact a cave. It is. It's magically created, but it is a hole in the ground. It's a cave.
Oh, I'll call it the Punk cave.
We're not calling this cave the Punk cave.
So what are you up to?
I kind of need Ari for what I want to be up to.
Well, I can tell you, I know what you are intending to do, and I know what his reaction will be to it. So
there's a wee conversation that I want to have with them, though.
Okay. Well, we can have that conversation once Matt is able to log in. What's Punk doing?
I guess he's not brooding any longer.
Setting up a supercomputer?
he's probably, so is this what, like a day later or something?
Oh no, this we were going to fast forward, but based on what Chris told me he wants Vex to do before you leave, this stuff needs to happen in the cave.
Oh. Probably just
sorry guys.
What's Meepo working on?
Okay, first I need to understand, where are we exactly?
You are still where you were at the end of our last session.
Okay, you're so still in the cave.
Yeah, that three-room structure with the hallway that leads to the outside. You've got a giant room full of blue roses that are all sparkly and magical. You have.
Yeah, I'm going to go get more blue roses and like weave them into a little crown kind of thing and kind of attach it to the top of the umbrella hat.
I like how awesome. Everywhere you go, you just pick up something else to add to your instrument.
Well, she's been acquiring things everywhere.
She was with Vex, so I'll help her do it.
Yay! You could make one for you too, Mr. Vex.
While I wait for Ari.
I could make a flower crown for you. It would be really pretty.
I'm okay, love.
Aww.
I am on board with this. I love this game so much.
Because we tried to get Meepo to see if she could read the letter, but she couldn't, could she?
Right. Had no idea what it said. Nope.
Okay. So
at least that's what we determined.
Punk, what? I might have had a moment, but what did you say you were doing?
Brooding.
Brooding. Okay, where are you brooding? In which room?
Probably somewhere like a staircase. So he has like a place, basically a place to perch.
Okay. It just so happens that two of these rooms have a catwalk that goes all the way around them 10 feet up. So you have a considerable number of perches to make. None of them are deep in shadow, which would be ideal. There is a distinct lack of gargoyles. And as you are underground, there is no rain to fall down over your black cape as you perch on the railing of said catwalk.
Yeah. He's just still mad that, you know, that goblin got away again. So
I love that a throwaway character that you encountered briefly in one of our first gaming sessions has become such a villain.
Yeah.
For the campaign. I had no idea that this would happen, and I love it.
We will kill her.
Yes.
Slowly and painfully.
That or she'll be struck down by the real villain that you only now have revealed to you.
Then we will get Obed to revivify her, and then we will kill her.
So, fun fact, if you're gone, you have to be willing to come back. She might not be willing. Although, depending where goblins go, still might be better.
Mm-hmm.
Goblins are very cowardly and fear death because they know where they will go. The god that they worship is not their first god. It's the god that killed their first god.
If you want, we can expedite and I can do the thing with Ari later.
I was thinking that. I was thinking that. So we will flash back to this.
No, I could do it at a different location. I just wanted it to be, that's fine. We can do it at a different location. Okay.
But I did want to point something out. I sort of got carried away making all the Batman references. But this area, the entire structure did have goblin children running around in it. So there are things that have been out of place, most notably in that main library area. But even in this staircase and on the catwalk that you're on, there's debris and stuff where something was interesting to them for a little while, so they picked it up and carried it around, and then they got bored with it and dropped it, or, you know, folded up papers into paper airplanes and tossed them off of the catwalk to see how far they would go and try to get them to stick on top of the planets that were in the observatory. They didn't manage to get any stuck up there, but not for want of trying. Give me a perception check.
Who?
Punk.
Oh, okay. That would be 17.
All right. So one of the papers catches your eye, not because the design on the paper itself looks interesting to you. I mean, most of these papers that are around you right now look to be papers that were taken from the observatory. They're just star charts and stuff. But one of them appears to be somewhat interesting because you're pretty sure you've seen it before.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you're pretty sure you've seen this exact piece of paper before.
Okay.
You're pretty sure that the crumbled parts of its corner are because of when you snatched and grabbed in Marwood's tower.
Okay. Is it somewhere I can reach it to get it?
It's right next to you.
Okay.
That's why you all noticed right. It.
Okay. I'll pick it up and kind of open it up and kind of smoke.
It's a star chart. And I know how much you love star charts. The significance is not that it's a star chart. The significance is you stole this star chart.
Yeah, and I gave it to old Bob.
Yes. And you got paid for services rendered.
Yeah. So we don't know whose place this was originally?
There was not a welcome mat outside that said, bless this home, welcome to the so-and-so's residence.
Right. But whoever... All right, well, old Bob's not around for me to question.
He may be back any day now because you're getting closer and closer to winter.
Oh, okay. I'll just hold on to it.
Okay.
Won't really say anything to the rest of the team yet.
Okay. So now let's flash forward to you've taken an uneventful journey back to the farm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you are it took about a half day to get to this place. It's about a half day to get back. Now, Meepo, there was something you wanted to do also.
Yeah, I want to go visit my kobold clan over at Mr. Fenix's. Okay, and I want to teach them magic.
All right. So you make a detour. You don't go straight to the farm. You headed to the temple that the Bahamut worshippers are building. At the time you get there, the first floor, there's still some work to be done, but a lot of the first floor looks finished. This is a lot of progress. Definitely some kobold work going on here. You recognize how the stones are cut.
Yep. Little claw marks everywhere. That's my people.
And with a dragonborn to help move everything into place, that really sped things up. It's a big step up from trying to dig a small ditch with a plank because your shovel was stolen by a gang made of children. But let's not talk about that. Most of the congregation prefers not to talk about that, actually. Now, what you encounter when you get there, most of the kobolds are hiding in their tunnels.
Oh.
And you know they're there because they sort of signaled to you to let you know that they were there. And you hear a voice coming from inside the structure. You have not heard this voice before. It is deep. Some might say James Earl Jones's.
Okay, so I'm going to, sneak into the structure and see if I can see who that voice is without being seen.
Okay, well, there's plenty of places to do this.
Kind of little, it might work.
Yeah. Most of the first floor is done, but there's still lots of parts that aren't 100% complete. There's a lot of windows where they've got the frame in for it, but they have not purchased the glass to put in place yet, which is why the voice is carrying so well. And you see two people whom you are very much familiar with. You see Fenix there, and you see Mr. Obame there. But you also see four Dragonborn that you have not seen before. One of whom is dressed similar to Fenix. He's wearing plate armor. His plate armor doesn't have a dragon head inlaid on the front of it. He is instead wearing a platinum dragon amulet. Described just as I described before, pretty much. And there is a lot of discussion taking place. It is very one-sided. It is all in Draconic. Obame, you don't speak Draconic, do you?
I do not. Dwarven, Celestial. And okay. Under whatever.
Undercommon.
Okay.
Undercommon.
All right, so you're standing there reacting however you choose to react, but this is a situation where your best guess, and Meepo, you know this more than Obame does because you understand every word that's being said.
Right.
Well, as much as a 5-year-old kobold can understand, but yes. But what's going on basically here is Generalis Senior wants Generalis Junior to come home and end this foolishness.
Oh. Okay. So, since I see Mr. Obame over there, I'm going to go walk up to him because these dragons must be okay if he's there. So I'm just going to walk over.
Okay.
Hello, little one.
Hello. What's up?
I think they're here for Fenix. Unfortunately, Fenix is not around.
Hmm.
Oh, no. Fenix.
Wait, wait, wait.
Fenix, the character, is here. Fenix,
the character.
The player.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why this long conversation is taking place.
Do you want me to relay anything to Logan to see if he wants to respond anyway? By just on anything?
Well, if you care to, how would Fenix react to his dad coming to visit him and saying, you're going to stop everything you're doing and come back home with me now? But not saying it that quickly. Saying it over the course of maybe 5 hours or so.
Yeah. Gotcha. Stand by. You guys go ahead and continue. I'm just getting some input from Logan real quick.
So, Meepo, one of the other Dragonborn notices you, obviously, because you're standing next to Obame right now asking him questions.
Right, yes.
Well, you're not a Dragonborn.
Nope, I'm a kobold.
What's a kobold?
Me and my clan. We are kobold.
There's more of you?
Uh-huh.
Are you related to Dragonborn?
Maybe. We think maybe.
He is walking in a wide circle around you, examining you from every angle. Like, do they all dress like you?
No, just me.
Oh.
But some of them might want to, if they could find the same stuff I find.
Oh, hey. We can flash back now, because Matt's here.
Hooray!
Yay!
This is good, because trying to switch between two different groups who both have missing players is difficult.
Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. It's not your fault. I'm going to blame it on Vex, because he has something he specifically wants to do where we need to know your reaction to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. So,
blame Chris.
So, my initial reaction might be light it on fire, and then maybe, we'll see.
But you've already tried that. That's why most of the library is burned away.
Oh, shucks.
Whoops. There was a section with books on specifically how to reverse fire damage. You hit that first.
Of course. That's called Murphy's Law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Well, Vex, we are flashing back to when you were still in this compound. You said you wanted to have a conversation with Ari, just the two of you.
Yes, so I would ask Meepo to go and get Ari and tell him to come here, but to stay with Ponk.
Oh, okay. I'm going to bring some roses and make a flower crown for Mr. Ponk. And I'll go get Mr. Ari.
Okay, Ponk is not hanging out with Ari, but you do see Ponk because he can't really be inconspicuous where he's brooding. So he's trying to be, but he's not pulling it off very well, which is making him brood more.
Yes. He just wants to be left alone.
And not be given flower crowns.
Yeah, I'm like putting it together as I go. What for you?
Okay. So let's find out about that interaction after we find out about this wonderful conversation with Vex and Ari, where we are just all flies on the wall.
Ari?
Yes?
And I pull out the letter from my backpack.
And?
Papa Demulich gave me this.
Okay.
You told me about this in advance, and it's still funny.
Yeah, he owns the Greek place in Coomeridge. So.
He gave me this when he came to the farm in his weird little astral form.
Okay.
He told me to give it to you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't give it to you.
Why?
Because I don't trust you yet. I don't trust anyone yet.
Give me the letter.
He also gave me a warning.
About?
Which is why I didn't give you the letter. About you.
I'm sorry. What kind of warning did he give you?
To watch you.
To watch me? Mm-hmm. Or to perhaps...
The voice in the back of your head says, he's worried about me.
Yeah. Hello, Satan.
He's made the list, buddy.
Name. Yeah, you're on the list.
I have no context for why he told me to watch you, and I've tried to read this letter, but it's in a language I don't know.
Yeah, well, we found a lot of that recently. I will take the letter. I will then proceed. It's not a language I probably can read either, because the last time... The clipboard, I believe.
It was unique language created for this place.
Right. So I will look at the letter and see if it matches at least similar syntax or
code. Oh, yeah.
Code.
It's the same.
Same thing. Okay. So I'll need 10 minutes to run my ritual to decipher this letter.
At which point I'm sitting there watching him.
Okay.
Does your ritual work on a single document, or after you cast it, you have a point where you can just read anything?
That is a good question. Let me take a quick
look.
Because if that's the case, I'm going to say this is soon enough after you just cast this ritual to read other stuff that you could just read this.
Okay. For the duration, you understand the literal meaning of any language spoken that you hear. You also understand any written language that you see, but must be touching the surface on which the words are written. So once I hold the item, then it will, for the next hour, anything I touch, I can read. As long as it's not a magical, like, if I touch explosive runes, for example, that's bad.
But you'll know what the rune says. It says keep away. What does that rune say? It says boom.
I'm sorry, did you say boom?
What does the rune say?
But otherwise, yes, I must touch the object. It takes about 1 minute to read a page of text, but the spell duration is 1 hour. So unless he holds off waiting an hour, then I would have to redo.
No, essentially, I got Meeple to try and read it. She couldn't. Okay. We did the flower crown thing, and I sent her off to get you.
Okay, that's fine with me. I will then take the 10 minutes, do the ritual. Well, I already did the ritual,
I will read
the note.
Okay, and I have linked the note to you in Discord.
Okay.
At which point I say to him,
private message. Read it aloud. Oh, there it is. You want me to read it aloud?
That's up to you.
Ari doesn't typically read things aloud at first. But reading what I am reading, I will then read it aloud because of what the first sentence says. Okay. And since Crash wrote it, I will. He knows what the first sentence says. If you are reading this, then Vex'Saren decided you could be trusted. Those born to power are often prone to losing our way. As nobles and wizards, we are doubly burdened. I told only Vex about this note, thinking that his suspicious nature and good heart would be sufficient to judge you worthy. I cannot thank you and your companions enough for what you have done for the citizens of Coomeridge. I may have devoted my life and unlife to the safety of my people, but none of those who survived would still be here if not for the efforts of you and your friends. Assuming things go as planned, you've also made sure to eliminate one last threat by ensuring that I cannot become a demilich. We did our best. As a reward for your services, I offer a small space I carved out of the mountains to the south for the purposes of conducting research away from prying eyes. Now Ari begins to cry. more detailed directions are included. It is heavily warded and will likely go undiscovered unless you seek it out. Should anyone stumble across it by happenstance, the animated statues in the main hallway should be enough to deter them. I've modified their enchantments so they will follow your orders as if they were my own. They should serve you well. Inside this space, you'll find many things of interest to you. The books are mostly copies of ones already contained in the Keep's libraries, but it's about time you started forming a library of your own. Didn't I just say that like a couple of sessions ago?
You may have.
Vex stops you there.
Okay.
And says, this is his place?
It seems that way. And that's based on the clipboard, and I'll show him the clipboard that I was reading. And I'll point out to like the last item on the list. I know you can't read this, but it says leave note for Ari. Yes, I know you bought a farm for yourself and your friends, and that's no place for proper wizardly studies. Yeah, well, yeah, you work with what you got.
There's nothing wrong with that farm.
No, there's not. I've got better nature rolls than you do.
You're not too good for the ghetto, are you?
In the ghetto!
Unless you start some additional construction work, my research space, now your research space, will still need some work, but it should be minimal. As a lich, I had no need for mostly bodily functions. You may want to start with certain necessities. In the center of the compound, you'll find my prized blue rose. Yeah, who? I prefer that.
Well, there's no bathrooms in this structure that you
wait,
see.
Yeah.
Read blue roses.
I'm continuing. In the center of the compound, you should find my prized blue roses, which everybody sort of know about. I prefer that you keep them, but if you need the room, I'm sure your mother would like some of them at least. Oh, yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? At the far end of the compound is my observatory. That's the word I was thinking of. Built using research from astronomers throughout Circulus, including certain Marwood that you have once met. Do not assume that Marwood died when the undead ransacked his tower. I did not. I'm old enough to remember what he was like before he adopted his senility act. Keen information, which I assume he only did to throw people off the scent. I don't know what scent that would be. I've been keeping tabs on his research for years. I'm sure Fiddlepunch suspected some snooping, but I used an intermediary, so it would not be traced back to me. I don't know what he's up to. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe Marwood was just really old. Maybe his tower's proximity to the dragon behind the undead plague warped his mind in strange ways. That said, if Marwood pops back up somewhere, don't trust him. That's too dark a note to end on this, but here you are. A few more gifts. In the top drawer of your desk in the middle of the library, you'll find several small labeled bags for your friends. They aren't heavily warded research spaces by animated They aren't heavily warded research spaces guarded by animated statues, but I think they'll appreciate them nonetheless. All the best in this life, the next, and any that follow, depending on the circumstances. Lord Arden Idris I of Coomeridge.
This is the punishment you get to balance out you getting a giant library of your own.
Right.
You had to read this.
I burned some of the books. I had to read this.
Well, that and you
burned the books after I got the note. Burned the book before I got the note. Before I got the note.
At this point, the blue roses he was talking about, given to your mother, I'm wearing them. Meepo's wearing them. Punk is going to be wearing them.
But there's more blue roses than...
The largest room in this structure, where every room is gigantic,
right,
is just rows and rows and rows of planters that go up to waist height.
Right.
With rose bushes growing out of them.
Right.
Okay.
The
goblin
desk.
Children did more damage than you did.
Yeah. The desk. Top drawer of your desk in the middle of the library. I don't have a map handy.
In the library? Because we're up in the observatory right now.
Ari didn't leave the library, though.
Yeah,
after the observatory, when you guys were still playing with the observatory, me and Punk went back to the library.
Yeah, but then I got people to go down and get you.
Yeah, right. But you know what? You're out of combat, so I'm not going to say, it takes so long. So, you can go to the library.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the library and find that
Colonel Mustard with a candlestick.
As you do.
And then the illusion fades.
And the butler yells, "I'm shouting, I'm shouting, I'm shouting," and the candlestick falls on his head and he falls unconscious.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Curry.
One of his better roles.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of good roles.
He has a lot of them. He is one of them classically great actors. He can take role and do whatever he wants with it.
Even if he won't admit that he played some of them.
Yes, exactly.
But we digress. So you go over to, it's the same desk that had the clipboard on top of it.
Okay. I didn't really search that desk yet because I was too worried about everything else.
Yeah.
All right. So let's find these small labeled bags. And let's
The top drawer, by the way, has markings on it like somebody tried to open it.
Right.
But when you go to pull the handle, it just slides open like there's no problem.
Right. He's excluded me from the arcane lock.
Possibly.
Or something therein.
So there are... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bags in there. One labeled Fenix, one labeled Meepo, one labeled Obame, one labeled Punk, and one labeled Vex.
Okay, well, we're kind of play Santa Claus. Is Punk still in the library, or he goes brood somewhere else?
Well, that's a good question. Punk, what do you do when Meepo comes up to you with a flower crown of blue roses?
Ignore her.
Aw, this is for you, Mr. Punk. You seem so sad, so I made you something happy to wear.
Thanks.
Yay!
We're cracking through the hard exterior.
And finding a hard interior.
Yeah.
So you could wear one too. I think Mr. Vex is wearing one. I'm wearing one, and I gotta make one for Ari. I'll be right back.
No,
you're not gonna wear it?
Aww. No.
But it's pretty.
That's great.
No. He loves her. Sorry. He really loves her.
She's a kobold.
Yeah.
So
that's all that matters.
This is like when you bring another cat home and the first cat just mercilessly attacks the new cat and like, they're friends. No, that's blood.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Garfield and Nermal.
Similar. Similar level of grumpiness and cheerfulness.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, well, Mr. Punk, hang on to that one. And then when you're sad again, you can take a look at it and be happy.
Okay.
Do you put it on?
Hell no.
Do you at least keep it and hang on to it?
So I'm waiting to see if you put it in your bag or something.
I will start playing Santa and hand out these bags.
Yay.
We'll start with Vex, since he's right here.
Okay.
Do you look inside?
I look inside.
It's bigger on the inside.
Is it a bag of holding?
And it apparently is.
Sans chicken.
You stick your hand in and you feel a lot of smallish button-shaped objects that are individually wrapped.
I pull some of them out.
They are Werther's originals.
I love this man.
There was something else in there too that your hand brushed against.
Hold on. I love this man because that is from like maybe the fourth episode we did.
He handed you a Werther's originals and you crunched it.
And he is the only noble that Vex likes.
Sorry, Ari.
Okay.
You're building though.
And you killed the only noble that you like.
Because he asked me to.
Well, this is true.
Okay.
But there was something else in there.
He had a really good reason, though.
That's the other thing I pull out.
Okay, you pull out a horn, and there is a note attached to this horn, as you do when you're handing gifts to people. Mm-hmm. The note says, Horn of Silent Alarm.
Oh, okay.
Moving on.
We will hand Meepo.
Ooh, what you got? Is it for me?
So, hold on, Jenny, was that back folding?
Yes, that is genuinely a bag of holding, plus a horn of silent alarm. And if you want to create a custom item, you could say, insert large number here, Werther's originals.
Okay, we have a bag of holding, guys.
Let's make sure that and the portable hole never meet.
Oh, yeah, no. You might not want to have that on your person if you ever walk into the portable hole.
Yeah,
just that would throwing be bad. That out there as a suggestion. Unless you really want to travel the astral plane forever.
Well, it is a kind of a overpowered get out of jail free card. If you
kind
need
of
it
an
to
overpowered
escape.
Get out of the frying pan into the fire card.
Oh wow, that horn of silent alarm! Wow,
It's a common item. It's a common magic
item. Is it
one
of the things like the Wand of Smiles that I have? One of those?
No, that is helpful.
An overpowered common magical item.
Can I?
And ideally suited for Vex.
I would like to, in my head, think Ponk and blow the horn.
Ponk, you hear a note sound in your head.
He ignores it.
It's loud.
Wow. And just scream up to him, did you hear that? Punk. Rude.
You blow a horn at him and then they say he's rude.
All right, Meepo.
I almost gave you a horn of blasting, but I decided no.
No, this one I like better.
How big is this bag compared to Meepo?
That's a good question. You have a feeling that you could really use it as a sleeping bag if you wanted to, or you could roll it up to like have it attached to your belt.
Oh, it's a big bag. What's inside? And I start digging through the bag.
Okay, there's a bunch of small, insignificant to anyone other than you, shiny trinkets.
I have some shinies.
Yeah. For the record, they technically have less value than the Werther's originals. They're the kind of things that Meepo would make with prestidigitation if she's bored, and they would immediately vanish because they don't have a long casting time. But these things are permanent.
They stay.
Yes.
Yay. Lots of shinies. This is
and there's also a staff in there.
Oh, what's this? I pull out the staff. What's it
okay,
look like?
It has a label on it that says Staff of Bird Calls.
Bird Calls?
Yes.
Ooh. How do I use this?
I don't know. I've never seen one of those before.
It is also a common magical item. This wooden staff is decorated with bird carvings. It has 10 charges. While holding it, and by the way, this does not require you to become attuned to it, so you can use it right away. While holding it, you can use an action to expend one charge from the staff and cause it to create one of the following sounds out to a range of 60 feet. a finch's chirp, a raven's caw, a duck's quack, a chicken's cluck, a goose's honk, a loon's call, a turkey's gobble, a seagull's cry, an owl's hoot, or an eagle's shriek. The staff gains 1d6 plus 4 expended charges daily at dawn. If you expend the last charge, roll a d20. On a 1, the staff explodes in a harmless cloud of bird feathers and is lost forever.
Bird feathers. It explodes pretty.
Can I just say Xanathar's Gate to Everything is my favorite book.
I know, right? This may change. This may change because Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes is coming out.
Yeah, it may change. But right now, Xanathar's is the best.
If it has more common magical items in it, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's the best thing about Xanathar's.
Okay.
So we will then go to Punk.
Who is this?
It's a gift from Lord Fervid.
Just leave it there. I'll look at it later.
Okay.
Punk is grumpy today.
Punk is always grumpy, honey.
This is true.
The flowers in his crown are already starting to wilt.
So he's wearing it?
Oh, no, he is not wearing that crown.
It, apparently in proximity to him in his gloomy mood, the flowers are feeling it.
Oh, no.
They're somewhat magical. They could be slightly empathic. Who knows?
Yeah, empathic.
Oh, Mr. Ari, I got to make you a flower crown. I'm going to go get some more flowers. Be right back.
Knock yourself out.
Fennec's not here, should we look at what these two get? And then we'll just give them to them.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. I mean, they're pretty flexible on that sort of thing. I mean, it's not like it seems like the items so far have been somewhat appropriate for them, for the people involved.
We'll look at it, and Eric just add it, and then you have it when we meet up again.
We could even say that Meepo takes Obame's and Fennec's.
Yeah.
Actually, no, because Meepo didn't know Obame would go there, but she could bring Fennec's.
Oh, okay. So I open up. Obames
has, it doesn't have a whole bunch of Werther's originals. You are slightly disappointed.
I would have just took them if it did.
That's why you're disappointed.
That's just mean.
It does have a tankard.
Oh wait, he is one.
I was gonna say, rude,
it has a tankard of sobriety in it.
Oh.
And it is a bag of holding.
Wait, so we have five bag of holdings?
Each of you, except for Ari, is getting a bag of holding out of this.
Maple doesn't even know she has it.
Yeah, you have something that is actually considerably more valuable, but
yeah, just a little bit.
You might have a different opinion when you're out on an adventure, and you're like, "Hey, can anyone hold this for me?"
Yeah, well, Punk has a portable hole and a bag of holding.
DM has made some regretful decisions. This will not end well.
No.
Does Punk know not to put one inside the other?
You gave all of us a bag of holding. I think that was a regretful decision from there.
Imagine the things Meepo could haul away with this.
Obain also has a haversack.
So many arrows. I'm never going to run out.
I want to buy all of the arrows you have.
Yes.
Essentially, no, I think we're done here. That's what I'm going to do.
I think you might have misheard me. You might have thought I said, bring me a lot of arrows. I said, bring me all that you have. I came up last night in our game.
Now all you need is all the bows.
Yes.
You want to open up Fenix's?
Yeah, why not?
Fenix's has a small toy. Not entirely small. It's like the size of a Tonka truck. It is a wagon.
Oh, God.
And it says... Wagon of Mending. Toy Wagon of Mending. That is not an actual item in D&D Beyond. You can't look it up. I have custom made it for this.
Good.
Yeah, cool.
Basically, if he smashes this, it comes back together.
Oh, yeah. Blast with this.
Oh,
such a blast.
That's
with this.
Wonderful.
It's Christmas, everybody.
Yes. When he can't vent his rage against the real wagon, he has this one.
Genuinely, it's Christmas. I love it.
He might actually, after this conversation with his dad, just sit in his room and smash his wagon over and over again while sulking. Punk, give him brooding lessons.
Yeah.
No, you got to arch your back.
Yeah.
Get a nice hunch. Shoulders up, head down.
scowl a lot.
I hope Ari realizes what me giving him the letter was.
Oh, I do now. But Ari's for Vex.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's a big sign of trust.
You're in the circle of trust.
Yeah. Don't go out.
But the first thing you told him when you handed it to him was you still don't trust him.
Yeah.
Don't go out, you never get back in.
Here's your flower crown, Mr. Ari. Appreciate his
gift. Thank you, Meepo.
One for you. I made one for Mr. Obain and one for Mr. Fennec, so we can all be the same.
Yay. We'll probably have to name our group after these flowers somehow.
The Flower Power
Squad.
Oh,
that'd be fine.
I thought we were the Shepherd Squad or something like that?
Team Shepherd.
That's Team Shepherd. Yeah.
I was the only one saying Team Shepherd, to be honest. None of you picked it up. You wanted for a while to be the Murder Hobos.
Right.
Oh, I love that one.
I still think it's the best.
That might be too much of a giveaway.
It would explain some of the problems that you've encountered recently, actually.
Here's the thing. We might be call ourselves the murder hobos, but let's be honest. We RP a lot over murdering things. Maybe not in the first couple sessions. Yeah. Maybe not in the first couple sessions, but we're definitely way into our RPs right now. Yeah.
And you have a home, so you're not hobos.
Yes, mm-hmm. We're not homeless.
And so you haven't really murdered anyone recently, except for the small goblin child.
It's an ironic meme.
You know what? I blame that on the goblin shaman. If she hadn't stooped so low to use children as shields, then this wouldn't have happened.
Yes, but Vex is seeing it is that the kids have to kind of be willing, and they're willing. So
yeah, well, they're goblins.
They're terrified, and they feel like they're
being innocent at that point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they could be terrified of her. They could be terrified of Al. I mean, cripes, he could drink their blood. That would be terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Please roll me an insight check.
Who?
Anyone who's having this conversation.
Okay.
I'm not here, or am I gone?
I rolled a 4.
I have a 10.
Natural 19 plus 2.
And so insight has a plus 4.
Yeah, I got an 8. I'm too overwhelmed at the news I've just received.
That works. So, Vex, especially considering your training, this makes some sense. Goblin children are kind of weak. You may have noticed they break easily. Mm-hmm. Giant subterranean lizards don't break easily.
Mm-hmm.
They might have been polymorphed not to use them as shields, but to shield them.
Oh.
See, now I feel bad. Why you do this?
You rolled high on your insight check. It's not the DM telling you this. This is what clicked in your head. And on that note, let's take a short 5-minute break.
Okay, sounds good.
You're the worst.
Coffee time!
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.
Yes, and you get a bag of holding, and you get a bag of holding. Check under your seat.
Yeah.
Thank you, Oprah Crash.
Next time it's going to be bees.
Yeah. No.
Bees.
Just bees everywhere. I'll be doing a little dance in front as all the bees swarm out.
We'll just get Nick Cage bees over here. He'll just eat them.
Not the bees! Alrighty. So, fast forwarding back the way we came. This is very Slaughterhouse 5-ish, I think.
Peabody and Sherman in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm so glad I wanted to do that at that location, because that worked out so much better than I thought it was going to.
Especially with the flower crowns being handed out to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Punk, do you keep your flower crown or you just drop it?
He didn't even touch it.
Do you ever actually open the bag either?
No.
I love this so much.
Yeah, it's, you know, Ari's happy, very happy. a little upset that he had to torch some of the books, but, you know, it is what it is.
Vex is ecstatic.
I have no problem wearing the
flower crown.
No Yay. Problem at all.
I'm,
here's your flower crown, Mr. Ofing. I got.
I am toying with having the card catalog be one of the things you torched, by the way.
Ari's reasonably intelligent. He can probably figure out his own system eventually, or at least design his own system personally for whatever he's going to mix, however he's going to organize the material that he now has.
It was previously organized in a non-Euclidean fashion.
Hey, well, that'll be Satan's doing.
I love Satan.
He's slowly growing on me. He was very helpful in the last combat.
Fungus and mold can also grow on you. Just pointing this out.
Yeah.
I want us all to
be
well-informed.
Not if you move around a lot.
It's fine. There is an arrow can go through him if needs be, but I like Satan.
Oh, someone's using their staff of bird calls.
Yeah, see? Oops. Found a flock of cockatiels. Look at that.
So I'm assuming everyone who isn't going with Meepo, can we tack up a long rest at this point? Because I ain't doing anything else until the next day.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, it was pretty exhausting. That journey went on for 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just a day, but it feels like it's been 3 weeks. Okay, we have that. That pun was required by law.
Nope.
Everything that takes a long time to do, you've got to make fun of the space-time continuum and how things are arranged. All right, so Obame and Meepo are watching Fenix get dressed down by his father. Fenix is not having it. He is trying to give as good as he gets. The problem is he needs to get a word in edgewise. And his dad apparently has had vocal training, so he is able to take sizable breaths and use his lung capacity well to have very long sentences. Every now and then he does swear in Celestial. Obame feels a temptation to cover Meepo's ears, and then he looks and realizes he doesn't quite know where her ears are.
She don't have them.
She's like the thing. No ears.
No ears. Okay, so while Mr. Fenix is getting yelled at, Meepo wants to get his flower crown. She's just going to climb up and put it on his head, and then climb back down and go back by Mr. Obame.
You have done something that Fenix has not been able to do for the past 5 hours.
And that is?
Render his father speechless.
Yes.
Here's your flower crown, Mr. Fenix. I made one.
He has just now noticed you exist, and he is just staring at you. His hand is raised, his finger extended in a half point, like he was, as an angry person would do when they're pointing and yelling at somebody, directed at Fenix's location. But he's not saying anything, and his mouth is partway open, and he's just looking at you.
No. And I wave.
He blinks.
I wave again.
What is that?
I'm not a bat. I'm a kobold.
Fenix says, they're my followers.
Mm-hmm.
Your followers. Do they all dress like that?
No, just me. The rest aren't really adventurers, so they don't get to find us. But I could share it with them, and then someone could.
Generalis Senior sighs heavily. I'm very tired. I will come back in the morning, at which point I expect you to be packed and ready to return home. Goodbye, son. And he turns and walks out. The 3 dragonborn that were hanging out with him look at the party. The one that was talking to Meepo earlier just sort of waves at her.
I wave back. Bye.
You think he smiles. It's hard to tell with dragonborn, because when they smile, either they're happy, being friendly, or threatening you. And the facial muscles are kind of weird for that.
And they all show a lot of teeth.
Yeah.
A lot of sharp, pointy teeth.
Yes. Nasty, pointy teeth.
Yeah. He's over there, and I'm standing by Mr. Fenix, so I'm okay.
Meepo's used to this, though. She's pretty sure to smile.
Uh-huh.
And they follow him out like baby ducks following a mommy duck.
Well, now everybody has a flower crown, so that's good.
And you have, because the party knew that you were heading here, you don't have Obame's bag of holding present, but you do have Fenix's.
Oh, Mr. Fenix, this is for you. And I give him a bag.
He takes the bag, thanks you. reaches inside, pulls out a little toy wagon, and a single tear comes down one of his cheeks. He says, I think I need some time alone.
Okay.
Thank you for being here. And he doesn't say goodbye to you. He doesn't do any of that. He just turns and walks away. He does put on the flower crown, by the way.
Yay!
Just sharing that.
Of course.
And Obame and Meepo now have this awkward... Obame realizes it's awkward. Meepo, I'm not sure. This awkward moment where you're standing in this partially constructed temple. There are people still milling about and trying to not pay attention to the fact that you're here.
Meepo doesn't care what people think.
But I have my flower crown on. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, see? See, oh. Meepo's at that teenage stage where she wants all her friends to dress the same, so she made that happen.
I just had a thought, but then I realized how the chain of events happened. When you were looking in the other bags, you didn't look in Ponks, did you?
No, I not.
No, okay.
He was there, so I gave it to him. The only two we looked in were Fenix's and Obame's because they weren't at the new lab.
So he technically doesn't even know it's a bag of holding.
Who, Punk? No.
No.
This could be bad. But okay.
Oh, no.
Depends on how he intends to carry the bag around. It depends on how much Tom wants a new character.
Actually, he might have just left it there. He didn't even touch it.
Ooh.
Eventually, Ari is going to go back to that to the lab, to the new lab, to the wizard's lab, whatever we want to call it. I'll think of a name for it and find it
the
there.
The Punk Cave?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to go see the kobolds now. I haven't...
All right. And you had the idea that you would teach them some magic.
Yes. Mr. Ari, would you want to help? I want to teach the magic.
Ari's not there. Ari stayed at the farm to get a long rest.
Rats. Okay.
Yeah, I stayed at the farm. Yeah.
I forgot. Okay. I'm still going to try.
All right. So to do this, let me look at this character sheet here. Of course, this is when it loads slow. Okay, so looking at your character sheet, I'm going to say, give me a performance check.
Performance
check?
For
you, that's a plus three.
Okay. I've got a four plus three.
All right, so you try to teach them a spell. What spell are you trying to teach them?
Magic Missile.
Okay. So not a cantrip, the first spells that you mastered, but you're trying to teach the ones that you learned after that.
Mm-hmm. Because this, maybe they could defend themselves with this.
And this would justify the lower roll because it's a much harder spell to learn than a cantrip and therefore harder to teach. So they got the wiggling their fingers bit. They got their holding their arms bit. They got the saying words that sound like nonsense to everyone else bit. But they're not wiggling the fingers in the right way or holding their arms in the right way or saying the right syllables.
No, guys, look, it's like this, see? And I show them again, and I say the nonsense word again, and stress how to pronounce it.
At first, try again. There are, of your clan, there's 12 of them besides you that have survived so far.
And I'm hoping I brought them all outside to do this, because...
Well, it's wherever you wanted to teach them. So if you wanted to teach them outside, it's getting dark. So they're not affected by the bright sunlight. There is no sunlight right now. It's either twilight or nighttime. So you're doing fine.
Okay, good.
And as you're doing this, very quickly, a few of them wander off to do other stuff. And eventually you just have three that are trying hard, but just not getting it. I will allow you to do one more performance check.
All right, I'm going to do one more performance check. Maybe I have three that can do it. Maybe they can do it. I rolled an 18 this
time. Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So now that's enough, I would say, to show the basics of how to cast a spell.
Okay.
And now my job is to determine whether or not these three are able to pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
So now it's my turn to roll.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so when you cast Magic Missile, these slivers of light appear next to you, and they basically just fly off in whatever direction you want them to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, they very much resemble arrows in their size and shape. Two of the three are just not doing this right.
Okay.
One of them gets, it's not an arrow. It's kind of more like the kind of dart that you would throw at a dartboard.
Okay.
If drawn by a three-year-old that just drank half a bottle of Mountain Dew.
That's awesome.
But it does fly off and hit one of the human members of the congregation.
Oops.
In the back, in the small of his back, he yelps and he looks over at you. And he's like,
oh, you
what?
Better run. I'll take care of this. You better
he
run.
He runs off going, Master Fenix, the kobolds are throwing things at me.
We didn't mean it.
But that goblin number three is quite pleased
goblin?
With themselves. Not goblin, kobold.
Okay.
Kobold number three. It's sorry, that was very koboldist of me. he's a he right now. He is
okay.
Quite pleased with himself
awesome.
For being able to do this.
What's his name?
Gonna ask me his name. Hold on.
Sorry.
That is a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
That is because there
and
are
how
so
old
many.
Is this one?
There is a wide variety of kobold names out there.
Yes.
All of which have long standing traditions. Most of them are hereditary. They might have a great uncle or aunt, depending on what month it was, that had a similar name. And I am totally stalling as I try to look up the rule book for Xanathar. Actually, no, this would probably be Volo's Guide to Monsters.
I don't know.
Because there is a section on kobolds in Volo's Guide. Load faster, D&D Beyond. It's almost like I'm streaming while I'm trying to load this page.
Why you know would what? You ever do that?
If only I also had a paper copy of the book.
Hmm. How old is this kobold that I just taught?
Oh, they're like 15.
Okay, cool.
They have considerably more teeth on the necklace that they're wearing.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I think it's actually in Xanathar as I'm looking through that now. There's a lot of elf names, dragonborn names. Elves change their names as they get older, so half of these pages are elf names.
Call him Gordon Gecko.
No.
I approve. I liked it, though.
Thank you. Just trying to speed things up.
I didn't know this would take so long. Sorry.
I wanted to come up with something that fit well, and I can't think of anything. And Meepo I got from a random table, and I don't know what table.
See if you have the table thing.
You know, insert name here.
Okay.
But we'll come up with a name for them later. Insert name here is very happy with themselves.
Awesome. So I have one kobold that can do magic, so I want to tell him I guess he just learned to be careful with this,
Well, he tries it again and he gets it wrong.
Oh.
But
okay,
for that brief moment, he casts something that was magic missile adjacent.
You'll get there. Keep trying. Just be careful not to hit the other kobold. And this way, if anything bad happens, protect.
He looks at you with an expression that says, a magical dart that makes people yell at me is not going to protect us. It might actually get us in trouble.
No,
he doesn't say this
like...
out loud, but it's in the look.
Okay. Well, if you ever need it, you'll be able to use it if you keep practicing.
Okay.
Maple's like, this didn't go as well as I planned.
He does ask when the next lesson will be.
Next time I come back.
Works for him.
Okay. See you then. Keep practicing. Hopefully outside. Works better.
All right. So, that's the evening. Huh? Dawn breaks.
Oh, so we've had a long rest then, or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm assuming nothing else. You didn't have anything else to do there? That was the main thing you wanted to do?
That was what I wanted to do, yes.
Yeah.
And
no other
magic.
Kobolds were interested in learning more magic.
Right, but when they could figure, they might.
Fenix is doing some brooding in his room that Ponk could take notes. He's just smashing the wagon over and over again while crying profusely. Could be tears of joy, could be tears of frustration. You don't know. No one knows that he's crying except him. But it's the next day. What would you like to do? Ponk's door was locked and barred, so you were not able to turn his wrench pink in the morning, by the way. Or any other color. In case the attempt was made, yeah. Efforts were made to make sure you couldn't make those attempts.
Okay. So I'm going to go around and prestidigitation and brush up his flower crown so they all look pretty.
Okay. The flowers have significantly wilted overnight.
Oh.
You weren't putting them in water, so.
No, I forgot. Oh, well. They lasted a little while.
Unless anyone else has anything they want to do, Vex wants to go and speak to Fettlepunch.
Okay.
The letter that I've now read, I originally wanted to go talk to Lord Idris, the current living Lord Idris, Ardent. But now that letter clears up a lot of questions that Ari had. So he no longer feels a need to interrogate Lord Idris, but still wants to go express his private condolences to him if he'll see him, if Ardent would see him. I know that the mission or the funeral was starting when Vex went to go mess with the phylactery. And then we rode off to this place, and we were here probably a day, I'm guessing, maybe two.
A full day, and then you had a long rest, so it's morning of the next day.
Morning of the next day. So that when we head back, Ari would have gone to the farm, started taking care of a few things at that point to start moving his personal stash out to what he will now call the Ravenscroft Arboretum. And
I like that.
Then
I approve.
Then work towards his... make his way back to Lord Ardent and to express his personal condolences to Lord Ardent over the death of his father.
Okay. And you have missed the funeral. It is tradition in Coombridge over the past 100 years to not really let someone lie in state for an extended period of time.
They've had good reason.
Because, if you let them lie in state, eventually they stop lying around.
Yeah.
Unless you tied them up and that was a bad look for the funeral.
Yeah, I would say so. I would agree. Otherwise, I mean, just, a quick meeting all really just to express his personal private condolences to Lord Arden. I'm not going to mention anything, of course, about his father's secret, doing my best, but I will mention that we have found a where the goblins were hiding out, and that's why I was unable to make the funeral. The goblin shaman had made some personal, she made some overt motions of a threatening nature, so we had to investigate, and we drove her off again. But she seems to now have a partner, former Sheriff Al Dente, and we believe he's now succumbed to the curse of the undead. And become a vampire.
I love Al Dente.
Sheriff Al Dente, whatever his given name was.
All credit to the Risks and Rewards podcast. They haven't had any episodes for a while, but it's three people now. It's a husband and wife team, but also every week their daughter, who is I want to say six, creates a monster for the campaign settings they create.
Nice.
Yes. And they're the ones that came up with Al Dente, the sheriff. And most of the names of characters that you encountered in Oregano, including the name Oregano.
He's really just going to give them the lowdown of what lately have they been up to. Just to kind of keep him abreast. Like, okay, here's, we're now, I'm sure he already knew about the farm. If he didn't already. Then Ari would have informed him about the farm that we're now handling.
The farm is common knowledge.
Yeah, I figured as much. But he's now personally going to be taking over this new, the former goblin shaman's little hidey hole, turning it into his own personal hidey hole, and calling it the Ravenscroft Arboretum. If you want, he'll give directions on how to find it. as far as like where it is physically, but it's going to require some magical circumvention because it's covered by spells and illusions and whatnot. In fact, if you are going to send someone, you'd probably be best to give me a sending first so that I can meet them outside.
He nods and says the right words to show he's paying attention to what you're saying, but
yeah.
He is obviously distracted.
Yeah.
If he hadn't just cremated the person who he believes to be his father,
right,
he would be raising an eyebrow or asking some additional questions.
I expect those to come later when he has more time after he's properly grieved.
Yeah.
But I've done what Ari sees as his noble duty to at least, you know, give his condolences, kind of keep he's the noble, Ari's more the guest, but at least keep the Lord abreast of what he's up to in his domain. But otherwise, he will, you know, very short visit, I hope, and, you know, let him be to his grief and leave.
Side note, you visited a noble right after he had a ceremony for his dead father and made the entire conversation about you.
Yep. But isn't that what nobles do? They talk about us. We talk about ourselves.
A little blip appears at the top of your vision. Ardent will remember this.
Sure. Other than that, yeah, unless Lord Arden has anything that Ari can help him with at the moment.
No.
Which I gather he's still going through his grieving process. He will see himself out, essentially.
Yeah, you get the sense. I'm not even going to require a role for this. You get the very strong sense that the only reason he is having an audience with you, if you want to even call it an audience, is because he's being polite.
Yeah, that's
he
fine.
Would much rather just be alone with his wife and children right now.
All done. I'm out.
All right. Moving on to Vex. Is anyone going with Vex?
Where's Vex going?
And what day is he going?
Fiddle Punch. The same day you were going. So you were actually traveling together for a little while until you branched off because you were going into town and he was going continued.
Right. He was north. I'm okay with heading towards Fiddle Punch. We have notes on star charts for him, so I could at least perhaps help advise.
I want to go.
Okay, come along. Vex, is this something where you would wait for Ari to conclude his business and then go with him, or would you just keep on going north?
Ari would tell you he doesn't expect to be more than an hour, and probably less with Lord Idris.
It was 15 minutes.
Yeah, not even.
It felt like 30, but it was 15.
Sure,
to Ardent, it felt like 3 days.
Yeah, he would wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then all three of us can go over to Fiddle Punch's tower together.
I'm assuming that you just play fetch with Shepherd for the entire time, where you're playing fetch with your arrows that you just purchased in town while you were waiting. So you've got what, like 500 of them?
That would take 15 or 20 minutes to just load up.
I have 525.
Yeah,
that might take a little while.
And some thieves' tools. I'm saying this for the recording because we were talking about this when we weren't recording. But yeah, you've bought 500 arrows. You cleared the local Fletcher out entirely.
And I got thieves' tools and the disguise kit.
Yes. The disguise kit, this is canon. One of the things in the disguise kit, which is not the main value, but it should be, is a large fake plastic mustache. It's a handlebar mustache, and it's got those little things that stick up at the top where you actually wear the mustache by putting those little things up your nose, and that's what holds it in place.
I was just gonna say, does Punk Robin want to come?
No, Punk's gonna stay at the farm.
Yeah, I'll come. Lord knows you guys might need some healing.
Yeah,
we've needed it in the past. Although not when we're going to Fiddle Punch's tower. Unless Al decides to pay us another visit on the road. God forbid.
All right. So, well, it's daytime. So he might not approach you on the road currently. He might decide that he burns easily. He doesn't have a sunscreen that's strong enough.
Yeah. Well, he could be one of sparkly vampires.
No.
Oh.
No, those are not canon or native to Circulus.
Praise the powers that be.
There was a small variant group of vampires that were sparkly, but then a group of vampire hunters who wore black leather trench coats or cheerleading outfits. You wore one or the other. It was a mix. Hunted them down to extinction and then destroyed all paperwork and books and whatever was written about them so that they don't exist. They have been wiped from history.
All right.
Okay. When you get to Fiddlepunch's tower, and it's been a while.
Ari was here not that long ago, though.
Well, it's been a while today. It takes a while to travel there. You've got your magical mount, and Vex has the farm horse. And Meepo's riding with whoever she wants to ride. For all we know, you summon Lord Tubbington's from, or the goat, Barnabas. From
that
the
nice.
Bag,
from
she would get Lord Tubbington's.
Okay. Has a mount.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so Meepo's riding a
mastiff.
A mastiff with a monocle.
Mm-hmm.
You're still not sure how that monocle stays on. You're fairly sure it's not a prescription.
It's magic.
It's just a piece of glass.
Yep.
But it's got a monocle. Go figure. And it barks with an English accent, which you have no idea what that even means.
What, does that dog bark funny? Yeah, he does. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Don't know. But it doesn't seem to hurt him.
When you get to the tower, there is a significant absence of monodrones. There are no modrons flying around the tower.
All right.
Did they finish the building tower stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The tower, it's made of stone, so it doesn't sparkle. But if it wasn't stone, it would be sparkly at this point. It looks refurbished. It looks like it's brand new.
Mayhap the dwarf in our party, we may want to do a little stone cunning when we get a chance. Take a look at that.
I think Eric fell asleep.
Sure, let's go check out.
So you're just going to go right up to that tower and use stone cutting, which is not one of your proficiencies, to cut into this newly repaired tower.
He's a dwarf. He knows all sorts of stuff about stone, right?
He does. While he's doing that, I just go straight in because I ain't on a part of that.
Okay.
I want to help with the stone. I want to help with the stone.
Well, you know a little bit about stonework, don't you, Meepo?
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
It's harder to fix it than dirt.
I'm just fix this dirt. You're breaking it already.
That's what I'm pointing out.
No. I didn't say anything about touching. Just look.
Right. Well, I'm going to say, Meepo, give me an investigation check.
Okay.
At advantage.
Okay, I rolled an 11, and investigation.
So roll
two.
Again. And
roll again.
Oh,
yeah,
advantage.
Your advantage.
One. Okay. Because
you're talking about stonework, and you know this.
I rolled 11 again.
Okay. So 13. You're like,
yes.
You know that this stonework is not kobold work.
Nope.
It's good.
Not at all.
It's good.
It's good. They tried, but there's still little claw marks here, so this was not done by kobold. I don't know if I could trust it entirely.
I love this game so much. My heart is filled with joy. Okay, so Vex, you're not having any part of this. You headed straight on in.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm assuming you go right up the stairs to the living area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Fiddlepunch is there working on something, and he says, oh, I didn't hear you come in.
Hi, Fiddlepunch. How you doing?
Very busy. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting things done now that whatever those were are gone.
How is your research coming?
Well, at this point, there's only two of those foci that I'm currently able to track. The one that you brought back is here, of course, and it's helping me out immensely with tracking the others. The one that you said was at that weird tower with the other dragon,
mm-hmm.
that one disappeared shortly after I sent you there. I'm assuming that, what was her name? Fava Beans?
Fava.
Whatever. In any case, I'm assuming that when she took it, she put it in some type of extra-dimensional space. We've already discovered that when you put one of these in a space like that, they become untrackable when this was being kept in Ponk's portable hole. But there's two that are still out there, one of which is very far away and moving, mostly in a straight line. To my best guess, it's over water. Not underwater, over water.
Over.
Yes, it is moving at a relatively constant speed. I hesitate to use any device to send you there because I think you might just have a very long swim to come home.
And the other?
The other one, he pulls out a map and he points to an area that is... So when you look at the maps of Circulus, there is a smaller... It's not small because Circulus is a continent, really. But there's a smaller portion of it that is not attached to the long crescent shape that takes up most of it. And he points to a spot somewhere in there and says, somewhere over here.
Okay. Remember, not from here.
All right. So, brief history of Circulus. Yep. Short version. 1,000 years ago, when we overthrew the Empire, we rewarded the orcs by giving them this area here. And he circles that whole little island thing with his finger. They loved it because it's mostly wilderness, and they could run around and kill everything and be very happy. We loved it because they would be there, running around and killing everything, and not anywhere near us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. So people were already there. Most of them decided they didn't want to be neighbors with the orcs. Mm-hmm. I know, it's orcist. We should be a modern society, but never mind. They weren't modern then. And they moved back here. There were some human groups that were a bit more, what's the word?
Tolerant.
Barbaric.
Oh, more fun.
I think they would get along with your friend Punk pretty well, that or they would kill each other, but there's some overlap in that Venn diagram.
More than likely with the killing each other.
That's, in some cases, how you say hello.
Yeah.
So there are other races there besides orcs, obviously. Mm-hmm. There are still orcs in the rest of the Circulus as well, but it's mostly orc land now. There are some other people there. I do happen to have an acquaintance who, last I talked to them, was hanging out there also.
What's the name of this acquaintance?
Lucanidae. Lucanidae Iron Wrench.
No.
So give me a wisdom check.
Wisdom. 14.
Okay. That's good enough. You remember that Fiddle Punch's last name is Iron Wrench.
In fairness, that's like on the second page of my notes that are like 30.
That's why I had you make a roll for it. Because I didn't want to just flat out say it, but if you rolled higher than a 10, I was just like, yeah, I'll give this to you.
Okay, then I would, instead of saying gnome, I would say any relation?
Yes.
A good relation? I say questionably.
There were some good times and some bad times.
Mostly bad by the sounds of it.
I would say mostly good. I'd hope he'd say the same thing. Our research areas went in different directions.
Your hypothesis clashed.
Not as often as you would think. But he was much more interested in the natural world, and I'm much more interested in observing things beyond this world. So,
yeah, that's fine.
You'd probably like him. I trust him with my life.
Good.
For the record, for your notes, it's spelled LucanIdae.
Oh, I was so close. I did a K instead of a C. I was so close. Okay. So, when can you get us out there?
Give me a day. I'll see if I can get in touch.
I was hoping you'd say that, because winter's coming, and I don't want to spend another winter stuck here if I have to.
Oh, I assure you, if Lucan is on this island, you'll want to come home quickly.
Okay. Can I insight check that?
Go ahead.
Nope. Sex.
Okay. Yeah, you don't know what he meant by it. You don't even know there was any subtext.
Okay.
What you're gathering is the island is not a nice place to be, but filled with wilderness and orcs and barbarians, maybe not the best tourist attraction. They don't have a Sands casino there.
Oh, and that's why I wanted to go. God.
You can gamble with your life. It's not quite the same thing.
Is that a bunch?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for all of this, helping us sort this mess out.
Vex, you have brought me some interesting problems. Most people don't like interesting problems because they want a quick fix. I like interesting problems because I learn something from them.
Where's the fun in a quick fix?
People get to move on if there's a quick fix.
Yeah, but there's no fun in the journey with a quick fix.
You, sir, are speaking my language.
Okay.
You are 500 years older and 3 feet shorter.
And he blushes and turns and walks away.
That's awesome. Because
that would be my reaction in real life.
I love this game so much.
Did you give him the star charts?
After I was going to, then that comment happened, he left.
So you walk out of the tower. Meepo is attempting to dismantle part of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
If I'm saying
something incorrect,
her.
Correct me.
No.
What Ari's is Obane doing?
He's just letting her go.
Yeah. I have a hammer. I have a piton.
You don't have your crowbar anymore.
So I notice that as I walk out.
What's Obame doing in this situation? Ari's just standing back and laughing, apparently.
I'm just observing, making sure. You know, when it comes to fiddle punch, I don't do anything in this particular area.
God, I have to be the disciplinary parent.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Ari's the fun parent.
Yep. Teaches me destructive magic. It's great.
Exactly.
Okay, I walk out, see her breaking things. Meepo!
No, she hasn't managed to break it. She's attempting.
I didn't get there yet.
She's got the hammer up, the piton against the wall.
Yep.
She
ready to go.
One could even argue, but you were in there long enough. Some of this happened in advance. You've taken some swings. You haven't been able to do anything to it. At this point,
I'm not strong enough.
At this point, you should have at least gotten it to stick in there enough that if you let go, it wouldn't fall. Nope.
Gotta keep trying.
Yeah.
So at this point, then I walk out, see her. Meepo Chipclaw, don't you dare.
Why? You said to check out the stones. Somebody said to check.
I did.
How else do you check out the stones?
You don't break the stones.
I'm not going to break it. I'm just going to chip a little bit. And my claws aren't strong enough. So what else am I supposed to do?
And apparently she can't chip the stone. Whatever the Modrons did here, they reinforced this tower pretty heavily.
To be fair, Meepo is a kobold with a strength modifier of -2.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't really know how strong the stone
is. She's going to hurt herself before she hurts that tower wall.
So it's possible that maybe the tower is not super reinforced. It's just reinforced that if you have a strength of 6, maybe you're not going to be able to do anything to it.
Do you not think that Vex is more concerned for her safety than this guy's tower?
Meepo doesn't
She's
know.
She's going to hurt herself.
And then she'll learn a valuable lesson.
That Mr. Ari is not to be trusted. He is going to step outside the trust circle.
Sometimes things go boom that you didn't mean to go boom.
Well,
like
yeah,
that explosive rune you read
fine.
The other day.
Ari, aren't you supposed to be the smart one here?
Oh, I am. She's learning things.
and learning that these things don't work to chip these stones.
I walk down and I just pick them off her.
Aww.
It's for your own safety, dear.
Okay.
I wouldn't have let her hurt herself.
I just put them in her backpack and close it.
I wouldn't have let her hurt herself a lot. And Obane was here. If she did, he could have healed her.
I'd be okay, Mr. Vex. It's all right.
I just throw Ari a loop.
She has to learn things.
You screwed up, look.
I just love that everyone else in the party, except for Ponk, is pretty much a father figure in some regard for Meepo. Ponk is more like that uncle that you're not sure why he comes to family occasions, but still does.
I'll wear whatever she makes, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I love this group.
I know, right? This game is so fun.
There's times when Ari is the bad guy in a way, but then there's times when he's like, "Nah, just let her go."
You know what?
She's an agent of chaos.
Since that moment that Meeple cast friends on Vex, he's liked her. He's impressed by her.
If I remember correctly, your first reaction was you said you were going to kill her.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was an impressive. I'm going to kill her. It was impressive that she was able to do that on him. He was impressed.
She learned it from watching you, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
She mimicked
that's
him.
Canon.
There you go, then. There you go, then. That was the start of this.
That was the start.
She is a unique race to Arya. He is just fascinated by everything she does.
You just love chaos.
Well, a wee bit.
Chaos is fun.
Magic's a little chaotic, let's be fair.
It's a little chaotic, too.
This is true. So, as you are doing this, Vex, Meepo is quite short. So as you're taking her tools and putting them back in her backpack, you obviously have to be looking down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to even make you roll for it.
Okay.
Actually, no. Do roll
for
it.
Passive
perception 18.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a survival check.
Oh, even better.
You notice something. How much you notice is based on the survival check.
14.
Okay. So you see a footprint. Now, you see it's part of a footprint.
Okay.
Apparently, Meepo is standing on half of it.
Meepo, I'm just going to pick her up. 2 seconds, lovely. And I put her down on the side.
I love this image.
Yeah.
All right. So this footprint, your first thought was, it's draconic. It's much too big to be Meepo's footprint, and it clearly has claws, and you think you see some signs of scales, but you're not sure. But it doesn't mesh with any dragon feet that you would be aware of. Now, refresh my memory. Are you at the right level where you took dragon as your favorite enemy?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because I didn't take the 6th level in ranger.
That's right. You took a level in rogue. So you wouldn't get extra knowledge from that. However, you're fairly certain that this is not a dragon footprint. It's large. It is not mammalian. And it's not dragon. And it's somewhat recentish.
Ari?
Yes?
Come here. Do you recognize this footprint from any races from Circulus?
Let me take a look.
That what should I roll check. Here? Well, actually, survival. No, for you, I would accept survival or history, whichever you prefer.
I will take history because I am way better at that than survival. Okay.
I was really bad on my survival check. It was like a natural 9.
Well, that's a 14 on my die. For history, that's +7, so that's 21.
Oh, you beautiful noble.
Yep. I took all the int skills.
It is not a species that is native to Circulus.
All right. So
for that you are quite grateful. However, you do have an inkling for what it might be.
Okay. Should I make another? Good.
Yeah, go ahead, give me an Arcana check.
Arcana. Okay.
Well, I'm even better at those than...
I know you are.
I am aware.
Yeah. That's...
Believe me, I am in some cases painfully aware of how good your arcana roll is.
Yeah. Well, that's why I took that feat. Expertise is super nice to have.
The target number here is 30.
Why do you think I grabbed roll? I get still expertise and perception.
Well, I did roll an 18, and that went to 28, so...
Almost. So close.
I would have had a credit to get it, but hey, I have some thoughts. I'm going to keep them to myself until I can figure out what they are, but I will tell Vex. It is nothing on this planet or this world that I recognize.
Okay. So
that said, it could be something extra planar.
You feel a mild panic in the back of your head.
Hello, Satan.
Satan is not voicing any concerns.
No.
It's just like a base level. You are fairly
It's more of a general bad vibe coming off of the in the back of my brain again.
Yes. You can't a natural 30 for your roll would have let you know what kind it is, but you think that this footprint is demonic.
Oh no.
And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wow.